Hello and welcome to the opening bell. Oh man, it seems like ages since I've said that. My name is Matt Christie, editor of Boxing News, joined by John Dennan.
Hello.
Last time we sat down, I was a young man. I was single. I was carefree. Now I'm married. I've got a ring on my finger. So much has happened. You hadn't been to the Olympics and been scarred by the things that you saw and experienced in Rio.
We both aged so much since our last podcast.
But there have been. But I did listen to. I think you did one with Nick, which I enjoyed. You did one with George, which I enjoyed. But yeah, we haven't done one for a while. But the point of this one, I mean, I think the best thing for us to do with the fight upon us. It's now, as we record this, about 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. It's been a long fight week. And tomorrow, Kell Brook gets into the ring to challenge Gennady Golovkin. I think it's fair to say that people are split on this fight. I think it's also fair to say that the vast majority are going to watch it. It's an intriguing old battle. And I think throughout, it's been one that you and I have really agreed on the outcome, in that it's always been difficult to see, although the respect for Kell Brook has always been there in the mission he's undertaking, but it's difficult to see how he can win. Have you seen anything this week, heard anything this week, that has swayed your opinion from that you formed originally?
I haven't, other than, you know, my first instinct was that Golovkin would be able to end this fight pretty early on, perhaps very early on, just because of his size advantage and in being so good, two weight divisions up, but you know, higher than Brook. At the public workout on Tuesday, Brook did seem very lively, so it did create this sense of, like, you know, madness in the air. So maybe it's not going to be an easy night for Golovkin, but nothing's happened to make me think it won't be an early night for Golovkin, as in I think he'll get to him and stop him inside the distance. We were both at the weigh-in today. Golovkin didn't look happy, but he did look big to me. You know, when they stood next to each other, when they faced each other, he just seems the bigger man. Is there a glimmer of hope that the Golovkin only came over this week, which is really not enough time to get used to the jet lag and the time difference from training in California? Is that a glimmer of hope? Is that a sign that he's taken Brook lightly? Maybe it is, but I can't see. I haven't seen anything to make me think that this isn't Triple G's fight to take.
There was, I wasn't at the final, I couldn't make the final press conference yesterday, but there was some kind of talk that Golovkin was not well, that he couldn't carry out all of the one-on-ones, and in some of the pictures he didn't look great. However, at today's weigh-in I felt he looked a lot better than the pictures that I saw of him yesterday. This is very common though, isn't it, in pretty much every big fight that people start to analyse and overanalyse. Oh, he didn't smile then. Oh, look at him, look at his cheeks, aren't they gaunt? But it's part of the fun as well, isn't it?
Yeah. It's part of the magic. And yeah, you're right, actually. After the press conference on Thursday, he didn't hang around, did interviews with the broadcasters who are showing the fight in America, the UK, Germany. I believe he spoke to ESPN, but that was it. He was out. You know, he didn't linger around to speak to sort of, you know, other print media. Today at the weigh-in, I saw Kell Brook speaking to Sky afterwards. I didn't see Golovkin speaking to Sky. Is that a sign that he's, I don't know, had to rush off to replenish or something? Maybe, but he's got a day to recover if he has had to dry out a bit for the weigh-in. Maybe he is prickly before a fight. I don't know, but I'm not sure. I think the fundamentals are still fundamentals when it comes to this fight.
He, I mean, do we think that he had to kind of do some crash weight loss? He was pretty kind of from the weigh-ins that they've had to take. That he was always lighter than Brooke, and it seemed, what was the last one? Was he 162 or something at the last
something
one?
Something like that. He was pretty.
So he didn't have. He was pretty much there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So it would surprise me if there was any issues making the weight.
Yeah, he might just be catching up on sleep.
I think he's Do you know what I think? I think he's absolutely fine. Yeah. I think he's absolutely fine, and I also, I'm not sure. Kell Brook certainly looked. He looked confident today. I mean, I don't know. I mean, and, you know, I just mentioned there you kind of overanalyze, and I think I was probably overanalyzing, but I'm not sure Kell Brook, he didn't look as confident as some of the weigh-ins that I've seen him in Sheffield, where he wasn't quite in that kind of raw, you know, the animal in him. You know, he looked a little bit more subdued there.
Arguably more subdued over the press conference and the weigh-in than he was at the public workout earlier in the week. He was quite pumped up then and got the crowd going a bit.
Did he peak on Wednesday? Has he peaked?
Well, he's left it all at the workout.
He's left it all at the public workout.
No. But he looks in good shape at middleweight. It's just he's not boxing in ordinary middleweight. Golovkin, the way Golovkin applies pressure, and he is very heavy-handed, but he's also very good at getting to people and keeping on them. And, you know, if Brooke doesn't carry the same kind of pop, how is he going to keep Golovkin off him? How is he going to get breathing room?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions I've seen, or it might, you know, what appears to be a misconception at this point of the contest the day before, is that, you know, Brooke is the you know, naturally quicker guy. He can box perhaps for a few rounds and make it interesting. But people, you know, Golovkin has kind of built up this reputation of being this all-conquering destroyer. But people seem to forget as well that he's an absolutely brilliant boxer. To my mind, he's a better boxer than Kell Brook. The accuracy, the way he cuts down space with his footwork is something else. It's all very, very subtle. And his jab, he's got an absolutely brilliant jab. Now, what on earth does Kell Brook do? I mean, if Kell Brook, and to my mind as well, Kell Brook isn't, like with Amir Khan, for example, you could see that Amir Khan had kind of got it in his locker that perhaps he may have had it in him to outbox Canelo Alvarez for 12 rounds. It was unlikely. But with Brook, I just don't think he's got that. I'm not saying he's not a brilliant fighter, I think he is. But I think what he does well, Golovkin does even better.
I agree with you. It's just hard to see how he's going to pull it off, because how do you beat Golovkin? I guess you've got to try, you've got to try and force him to go backwards, to try and stop him, you know, coming onto you. So you need to be able to, you know, hit with real power and be really aggressive. But then, you know, with Kell Brook being smaller, wouldn't that play into Golovkin's hands if he tries to drive him back, but then he's really sort of charging into the incoming fire? So, I'm not confident for Kell Brook's chances.
There's a lot been made of the whole, the fact that Brook is jumping up two weight classes. And I mentioned on Twitter today that when Kell Brook emerged onto the scales, it was a ripped physique. If you just kind of landed from Planet Zog and you didn't know that Kell Brook was a career welterweight, you wouldn't have known which one of those two guys was moving up in weight. It looks like it suits Brook's frame. He looks very, very healthy indeed. And I kind of made the point that it was a contrast to what Amir Khan looked like when he went up to challenge Canelo Alvarez. Khan, it was very much, there was kind of excess weight there. It wasn't really what he should have been looking like. It didn't look like he was at his peak. Even if this isn't a matter of, as Eddie Hearn has been saying repeatedly, you know, this isn't a fact of this isn't going to be a fight where Golovkin wins because he's bigger. But the fact is that Brook, I'm sure he has been knocking out middleweights in sparring. But if we're to believe internet rumours, Golovkin has been knocking down the likes of Sergey Kovalev in sparring.
Apparently, with a body shot.
So, you know, you can do this. But my point is that although he may not feel like it's his two bit, I certainly felt with Amir Khan that it was unnatural, and he must have not felt as good as he wanted to. With Brook, I'm sure he'll feel fantastic. But he is never in a competitive environment, been in there with a middleweight. And not only that, as you yourself said, it's not any old middleweight. He's going in with Gennady Golovkin. It's a ballsy step, but it's almost madness. At this point, it just all seems crazy to me.
But is it crazy enough to work?
I can't see it, but I just can't see it. Surely he. I understand. Look, he was given this opportunity, and even before he was offered this with the whole Eubank fiasco. You know, Brook himself had gone on record of saying, "Yeah, give me the Golovkin fight. I'll fight him. I'll do this. I'll do that."
And when he first said it, I didn't think he was entirely serious about it. I thought it was more tongue in cheek.
It's going to dawn on him, though, right? I mean, unless there's something about Cal Brook that we don't know, or there's something about Golovkin that we don't know. It's going to dawn on him, isn't it? That he's in the ring with Gennady Golovkin. And I love this. One of the favourite things at Cal Brook, and I remember him saying it to me when the fight was first announced. I might sound crazy, but I can't wait to see what this punching power is all about. You know, fighters are a different breed. You have to respect them for getting into the ring and doing this. But he could just be hit like he's never been hit before, and chances are that's what it's going to be like. I've seen him wobbled at welterweight. I mean, in this week's column, I kind of look at various upsets that have happened in the past, and there's a reason for them. You can tell. I won't say too much about the column. I'd appreciate it if people were to give it a read. But basically, my conclusion of this column is, it would be right up there for me. I'm not saying, for example, in a historical, I'm not, please don't think I'm comparing Gennady, for all the kind of the purists and the historians and everything out there, I'm not saying for one second that Gennady Golovkin is in the same league as Sugar Ray Robinson. However, to the boxing community, I mean, it was Randolph Turpin came over in 1951. Sorry, Sugar Ray Robinson came over in 1951. He beat Randolph Turpin. Okay, that was a massive upset that made world news because boxing was more of a kind of a household sport.
Turpin beat him.
So that was more of a worldwide massive thing because boxing was one of the main sports. And it's not there now, but within the boxing community, I really think that if Brook was to beat Golovkin, it would be one of the biggest shocks of all time. And I'd put it right up there, right up there. To me, I just can't see how Cal Brook wins this fight. And again, what I wanted to make clear at the very, very start of this podcast is that I've got no malice towards Cal Brook. I hope he wins. It'd be fantastic for British boxing. I just can't see how he can do it. Every way I look at it, and I look at them as two fighters. I look at the environment. I look at Golovkin. I look at history. I look at upsets. There's nothing in Cal Brook's favour going into this fight. Nothing. Apart from it's in London. And perhaps you could say that's going in his favour. But is that a big enough factor for him to win this fight? Of course it isn't. Was it a big enough factor for Cleverley when he took on Sergey Kovalev? He had home advantage. No, it wasn't. I don't know. John, give us something positive.
It's hard to argue with your logic there. You know, where is Cal going to have an edge in this fight? Even if his hand speed is faster, you know, Golovkin's timing's very good, which should negate that. Plus, if the punches are just bouncing off Golovkin, then it's bad news for Cal. But I think the appeal of this fight isn't that it's a 50-50 fight, obviously, it's not. But it is, it's more that you're so up against it, it's trying to do the impossible. I mean, we call it Mission Impossible on the front cover of Boxing News this week. So I've grown increase as the days have gone on, I've grown increasingly fascinated to see how it pans out, because I share your just bafflement of how he's going to do it.
But should, you know, kind of cynic in me, is that what we've been resorted to now? Is that what we're kind of watching a fight just in case the underdog does it? We'll put two guys together that don't look evenly matched. So if the guy that is the underdog wins, crikey, that'd be a story, wouldn't it? So then we'll put them together. It's not a 50-50 fight from the outset. What, 80-20, 70-30, 90-10? You know, it's...
Yeah, we're getting too many crazy fights. Like, you know, I think the example of Canelo Khan sort of captured all our imaginations because none of us saw it coming and it was unexpected. Then after the chilling knockout, I think maybe it was, you know, that was a cold, clear reminder that it wasn't the best idea in the world. And then, you know, Brook Golovkin is that ramped up even more, you know, and then there's speculation that Cotto could be could be fighting Lamont Peterson and just...
Oh, yeah, I know.
We want more Kovalev versus Andre Ward, the best in the division.
You know, and that's what I was saying to you, I think I was saying it to you or saying it to someone in the office on Monday or Tuesday this week, that really, in world boxing, and I might be wrong, I might have glossed over something, I might have missed something. I mean, there's been there have been fights in the lower weights that you could say, like Roman Gonzalez this weekend takes a step up. That's a really, really good fight. But in terms of a fight to really, really capture the imagination on a worldwide scale, the first one, I think, that you could say was a 50-50 matchup. Who's going to win this? I don't know, but I'm going to watch it and find out. Is Andre Ward against Sergey Kovalev, and that's in November this year. Now, you know, I don't want to be down about it. I think there's a lot of great things going on in boxing. It was good to be at the O2 today and see the amount of people there. There is so much...
A massive queue.
It was so much interest, which suggests when you get the product exactly right, boxing could fly even higher. But what does it say about the sport and what does it say about the fighters that it's going to take until November of this year, 11 months into the year, before we get an evenly matched super fight, if we're honest, irrespective of whether Brook wins tomorrow? Because if Brook wins tomorrow, that's an upset, that's different. We want fights where you're going in and 50% of onlookers are saying this guy's going to win, 50% of onlookers are saying this guy's going to win, and everybody alive wants to watch the fight because they haven't got a clue what's going to happen. That's what we need. That's how the sport will thrive. Yeah. As much as I'm kind of intrigued and fascinated now to see what goes on with Brook Golovkin, it isn't that kind of fight.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the problem both Golovkin and Brook were having in their respective divisions was getting the super fight at welterweight in Brook's case, getting the super fight at middleweight in Golovkin's case. You know, their teams couldn't pull that off, and that meant they both kind of, like two lost souls, found each other. But yeah, it is an indictment on the state of boxing at the moment that, you know, we're not just seeing Canelo fighting Golovkin now. It's, you know, the Mayweather-Pacquiao saga taught us, like, you know, they could have fought three times closer to their primes. They would have had a better fight, we could have had a great trilogy rather than one fight that didn't meet the expectations that have been ramped up for the previous 5 years. You know, I don't want to wait forever for Golovkin Canelo.
No, I don't want to wait forever either. But it's not going to be. I kind of already a little bit tired of talking about Golovkin Canelo. I don't really want to go there. But it's certainly not. It's no closer now than it was a year ago. And to me, you know, I've been lucky enough to go out there and I've seen Canelo fight a few times and I've been very impressed with him every time I've seen him fight. Always impressed with him, the way he conducts himself and everything else. But ultimately, someone was having us on when Canelo said after he beat Cotto in November last year, give me Golovkin. Someone was having us on, whether it was Canelo or it's been somebody in his ear since. Again, somebody was having us on after Canelo beat Amir Khan and he said, right, give me Golovkin now. And then it all goes quiet for a little bit and Canelo is fighting Liam Smith. Again, no disrespect to anybody in that matchup. Again, I find that matchup, incidentally, Canelo against Liam Smith, an intriguing one.
Yeah.
But what Canelo's doing by moving down in weight, to all intents and purposes, or the way it seems, is he's saying, I'm not ready for Golovkin right now. Because if he was absolutely adamant that he wanted that fight and he wanted to prove himself, the fight would have happened.
Yeah.
It would.
But is Billy Joe Saunders for a middleweight world title the perfect step up?
It would have been if he'd have done it now. If it had been at this point, then perhaps it would. If he's saying his frame. I think we asked him at the press conference. We asked Oscar De La Hoya at the Smith Canelo press conference. Okay, what's the deal there, Osc? What's the deal, pal? But he said he's not ready. He's not ready to be a middleweight. He's fought 155 pounds the last two times at middleweight. Well, why say that he is then? Why say that that's what you're going to do? You knew that. It's not a mystery. He hasn't just changed body shape overnight. It's that kind of stuff that I kind of find a little bit frustrating. But hopefully it will fight. But what you need in the sport is there to be... I mean, it's not realistic for there to be marquee names fighting each other week in, week out, because there's not that many marquee names. But there should be. Surely it's not too... You know, surely we're not wishing too much or hoping for too much if we say that four times a year there's four fights, four top-notch fights over the world where we really haven't got a clue what's going to happen and we really want to see it because they're the best in their division. That's not too much to ask for, is it?
It's not, mate. I'm loving angry Matt Christie.
Do you know what?
So intense. I feel like I've been arrested. I've been interrogated by Vic Mackey before he starts hitting me with a phone book.
Do you know what it is? I haven't had a lot of sleep this week, John, to be honest with you. I haven't had a great deal of sleep. My 3-year-old last night, there's this whole rabbit saga. My wife is currently working in Las Vegas, so I've got a double bed to myself, and my 3-year-old daughter has spent the last two nights creeping into bed with me because she's lost her effing rabbit. And
you called your daughter's toy effing rabbit?
We've had a lot of problems with this rabbit, and this is Rabbit Mark 2 now. I kind of woke up various times during last night with... She's three, she's tiny, but she kind of spins around as this weird thing in bed. So I kind of woke up with like her legs around my neck and everything. And it's just like, I haven't really slept very well at all.
So you woke up.
And I really felt it this morning. I really felt rough from the lack of sleep.
You woke up with your own daughter trying to choke you out.
Yeah, basically. And then, you know, I had a bit of a strop on trying to, you know, when you're a bit stroppy with a stroppy 3-year-old, it's not good. I'm like, Emily, for goodness sake, just stop this, just move. Then she starts crying because I've just kind of half shouted at her. So, yeah, anyway.
This all got so real so quickly.
Let's move on to the undercard where there are some, there's some fights really like the look of there. Charlie Edwards. I really, really like Edwards. Really impressed with everything that I've seen from him. He seems, when he says, I'm going to absolutely do it, I'm well up for this, I'm so excited, God damn it, let me in there, I believe him.
He's so convincing. And he's only had eight fights, he's going in with a proper world champion. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Obviously, Charlie's the underdog there, but... You know, he's actually the bigger man. He does have a good engine on him. He can fight 12 rounds, you know, at a pace. He also thinks Casemiro is struggling at the weight.
Which yeah.
Really interesting. Though Casemiro, I thought, looked in pretty good shape today.
Yeah, he did. I remember because at the undercard press conference, he did the face off and they shook hands, and then Edwards came flying off the stage, like really excited. His hands are dry. His hands are dry.
but yeah, he's got complete faith in himself.
Yeah,
he's gonna win it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. The third world title fight, Lee Haskins, Stewie Hall. Lee Haskins isn't known for being in exciting fights, but maybe Stewie is, you know, they've got some personal needle between them, and maybe Stewie's going to bring the right style to make this a good one to watch.
Maybe they've got a bit of needle. It's hard to see. I'm just not convinced. I mean, Haskins said he's a different fighter to what. Sorry, Hall said he's a different fighter to what he used to be.
He's got a new trainer.
Yeah,
training and conditioning, that kind of thing.
I like both Stewie and I like Haskins as well. I just don't think that Hall can improve enough to kind of win a rematch. I just think it's going to be pretty much, it's going to be very similar to their first fight.
But hopefully more intense.
Well, the needle has certainly increased, hasn't it? The needle has certainly increased.
And finding Martin Ward.
Yeah.
British featherweight title against Andy Turner. And Martin Ward, he's been pro for like quite a lot, like 4 years.
Yeah.
But he is young. And he is a talent, but it's a tough game, professional boxing.
I like that.
It's a good fight.
That could be the best fight of the night. It's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting. And I just hope that Brooke does better than I think he does. That I think he's going to. It's the eyes of the boxing world are on this fight. So let's hope it's a good one.
He's called the special one. But if there's any time to prove you're special, it's now.
I've got nothing to add to that. That's brilliant. We'll end it on that.
I've been workshopping that for the last half hour.
Okay, well we'll call it a day on that. I'm not sure when we'll be back. I don't know if you're going to do one next week, John, with one of the guys. I'm going to be out in Dallas.
The plan is to do one next week because we've got Klitschko's in town for a press conference.
Oh, of course.
A much delayed Tyson Fury fight on that's on Monday, and of course Liam Smith's got the big one against Canelo next weekend, so it's all go. But yeah, in some shape or form, we'll be back next week.
Okay, in the meantime, you can get your boxing news fix online, which is updated several times a day, and we will be live blogging from the fight. If you want a bit of a companion for the fight, I thoroughly recommend this week's issue. As per, we go in depth with the big fight. Lots of big name interviews in there. There's the occasional glimmer of hope for Kell Brook's chances. There's a lot really to digest there. There's a lot going on in this week's issue. And I would honestly, if you haven't read it for a while, if you didn't like it in the past, give us another blast and let me know what you think. If you've never seen it before, just go and get a copy. All right, thanks. And we'll be back next week.